Ladies and gentlemen, I am Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, and this is the Strategic Christian Leadership Podcast, episode number 58. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help Christian leaders, pastors, so-called servant leaders, ministers, pastors, teachers, evangelists, small group leaders, and so on, understand how planning and strategizing is important to carrying out the Great Commission. Our Bible passage for this episode today is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, which says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Our quote for this episode is from Theodore Roosevelt. He said, "Keep your eyes on the stars and your feet on the ground." In this episode, we are going through, and in this podcast, we are going through the fine books, Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders by Aubrey Malfers, Deliberate Simplicity, How the Church Does More by Doing Less by Dave Browning, and Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love, and Leadership by John Dixon. Dear friend, if you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of these books where fine books are sold. Our topic today is part 6 of chapter 4, Developing a Biblical Mission, what we are supposed to be doing from Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders by Aubrey Malfers. He continues as follows. He says, however, the church's purpose to glorify God is both internal for the church and external. It includes the community. How does it include the community? The church's purpose helps it to position itself in the minds of those who live in the community and reach out to it. They should know not only that the church is located in the community, but also why it is there. The answer for the church is to glorify God, that is, to live and minister in such a way that His excellent reputation is upheld before that unbelieving world. The answer for the community is that the church is there to make a difference, a positive difference that contributes to the community. And the essence of positioning your church in the community is communicating well a positive, God-honoring image. When your image is good, this glorifies God, and His reputation is good since you represent Him to the community. When your image is bad, His is bad. You misrepresent Him to the community. How do you develop your community image and glorify God? Actually, if you are an established church, you already have a reputation in your community. What is that image? What is that reputation? Is it good or bad? A great example of a positive image in the community was the Jerusalem church. Luke notes in Acts 2:47 that the church enjoyed the favor of all the people, and again in Acts 5:13, the Jerusalem believers were highly regarded by the people. Does your church's image glorify God, or is there a need for some damage control? And I might add, is there a need to get rid of some people, including the pastor, who might be causing the church to have a bad image, and therefore the Lord to have a bad image and reputation in the community? I'm adding that. Now back to the text. Next, you should ask what you want your image to be. This involves your outreach and ministry into the community. What are you, as a church, doing to minister to the community? Some churches allow the community to use their facilities free or at a reduced cost, depending on the organization. Others minister to the police, firemen, and other public servants. And still others volunteer time in the public schools, hospitals, and public and charitable organizations. What is your church doing? Let's pray. Holy Father God, Lord, I know that some of this stuff is rather boring to ministers, your servants. The truth of the matter is some of it is boring to me because of my calling and so forth. However, Lord, it is good to cover our bases. It is good to delve into things that might not be our forte. And it's good to read and to listen, to broaden our minds so that we can gain the right perspective from people who may be people who are gifted with strategizing and thinking a long term about things. So, Lord, we thank you for Brother Malfers. We thank you for these other brothers, these men that you have given great vision to, and the ability to help others in their servanthood ministerial roles. So, Lord, in the end, when it's all said and done, you're in control of everything, and you have a reason and a purpose for everybody, and you've gifted us all differently, and we can learn from one another and work together as a team to win more souls to Christ. Help us to do it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is your day. Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.